Today's scriptures found in John's Gospel. I've been studying John's Gospel. I'm still in the first chapter, John chapter 1. John's Gospel. John's Gospel. Chapter 1, verse 19. John 1, 19. This was John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" He came right out and said, "I am not the Messiah." "Well then, who are you?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "No," he replied. "Are you the prophet we are expecting?" "No." "Then who are you?" "We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness. Clear the way for the Lord's coming." Amen. Amen. I want to talk about a voice in the wilderness. A voice in the wilderness. I've been talking to a friend. Person asked me, what did I believe about the Strauss-Kahn case, the rich millionaire, billionaire, as opposed to the young, poor woman, the maid from Guinea, Diallo. What did I believe? Do I believe that she was trying to set him up? Do I believe that he's guilty? Now, I have my beliefs, and I'll tell you what I believe if you ask me later, but that's not neither here nor there. But what I don't like is how the media makes this poor maid the victim. They talk about her life in terms of how the immigrant, how she came from Guinea, and that she declared that she had been gang raped in Guinea, but they don't say a word about him and his low life. Money and power can almost get away with anything. But if you're poor, with no background, and an immigrant, and you are working as a maid. Look, anybody see that movie, The Help? Anybody read that book? That's not what this sermon is about. But if you're poor, you don't have any money, and you don't have any friends in high places, they will marginalize you and make you think that you are less than a human being. That's why you need to run to church and know that I'm God's child. Might not have a whole lot of money, and might not be in line to be the president of France. Might not be a major power broker, but don't you dismiss me just because I'm poor. Whatever you think, I don't know if she's innocent or guilty. It would be terrible. It would be a terrible thing if she's trying to set him up. But it's also a terrible thing if he raped her and got away with it. What I've been working on is this whole idea of
that we are made in the image of God. Reading a little bit about Desmond Tutu, I dug out some books and I read something and I dug it out this morning that Socrates said that an unexamined life is not worth living, but someone else says an uncommitted life is not worth living. The Western philosophers say, I am because I think. William Sloan Kaufman said, no, you got it wrong. I am because I love. But Tutu says, I am because I belong. That somewhere that our identity is wrapped up in belonging to a faith community or belonging to a race of people with a common struggle. And I begin to think about our lives as black people in America. We were united. I don't care how much money you had, you still were black and you still had to experience racism. This morning when I came to church, I've been here for 27 years, never saw this before. This morning I came to church, got here, I guess 8:15, something like that. Got my little Nigerian outfit on. Coming down, thinking about it, I got to find this book. I had to go to the library, I got to find this quote. I got to find what Sloan Kaufman said. I remember that it was in this book. I was thinking about Ubuntu, the African theory about I am because I belong. I was thinking about what I've been reading about Tutu. Trying to figure out now what you're going to call this sermon. You're going to call it Light in Darkness, or you're going to call it A Voice in the Wilderness. And lo and behold, out in the parking lot, there was a homeless brother laying in the parking lot. And I thought, now, which one of those guys in the New Testament you going to be? You going to be the priest that goes to the other side? And you know, in my mind, I said, listen, I got to find that book in my library. I got to find that quote. But it kept coming back to me, boy, you hypocrite. Go over there. I said, you know, I'm thinking it's going to cost me something. And Barbara wasn't around. And y'all know I ain't never got no money. So I had to find, if I go over there and I got no cash. I reached in my pocket and I had some money. So I went over there and I talked to him. And he's laying in the parking lot reading USA Today. Talk to him. What's your name? Tell me his name. Tell me your story. He says, you know, grew up in Westwood. Had some bad luck. Wasn't a great student in school. Kind of got out there, got involved in drugs. Look at somebody and say, you can't tell about a person by the way they look. You don't know. You cannot define a person just because he's homeless, and just because he hadn't had a shower, just because he hadn't had a shave, just because he had not dressed in a nice Nigerian outfit. The brother was smart. And the only difference between me and him was that I had a shave this morning, and I had taken a shower this morning. Don't you discount somebody just because they're down and out. Don't you dare try to define somebody just because they're homeless. They are God's child, just like you are. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Bishop Tutu, for helping me to understand. You refuse to let apartheid define black people of South Africa. Thank you, Martin Luther King. Yeah. for helping us understand that you refuse to let white racists define who we are as black people. Thanks be to God that our ancestors knew that we were children of the Most High God, no matter what other people said. Thanks be to God. I am not my education. I'm a child of God. I'm not my money. I'm a child of God. Down in Macari, they gave me the assignment. I had to do a lecture on Ubuntu. Now, I don't know what Ubuntu is. I heard about it in South Africa, and I read about it, and I got the idea. He says, I am because I belong. Now, I don't know what we called it. We didn't call it Ubuntu, but I know that we got our identity by being a part of our racial history, that we have a similar story to tell, that we've been up the rough side of the mountain, and that we understand Ubuntu. Because when other people would define us because we're black, and other people would define us because we are poor, people would define us because we were light-skinned. Oh, you know I'm telling the truth. They would define us because we were dark-skinned. They would define us because we were Yankees. Or they would define us because we were Southerners. You and I have to refuse to be defined by the small minds of people, because we're tuned in to another voice. The voice of God, who says that I am your son. I am a child of the Most High King. God help our children who are listening to the wrong voice. Some of our kids. This is not a sermon to beat up on rappers. It's not a sermon to beat up on people who rap, but it is a sermon to beat up on rappers who have a negative message. You're more than your butt, more than your hips, you're more than your breasts, you're more than baggy pants. I see some people out there shaking your head. I'm coming right down your street. You ain't that holy anyhow. What I'm trying to say is, we need to hear the voice of God. I'm created in His image. He made me in His image. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. I was reading this story about African theology. And the Africans have a proverb, I guess, that says, but they were trying to, the African was trying to describe and define how God created some black people, some white people, and some Indian people. And the African said this, they taught their kids that, well, God made us all out of clay. And for black people, He forgot and left us in the oven too long. And then when He made white people, because, you know, He made black folk first. I mean, I'm not making this up. You do know that I'm telling the truth, don't you? That life began over there in Africa. He said after God made the black people and left them in the oven, in the kiln too long, then He made white people and He took them out too soon. And then He made Indians and He got it right. It's one thing to hear the wrong voice, but it's another thing to constantly listen to the wrong voice. Every last one of us have heard the wrong voice, but sooner or later, you and I have got to tune in to another network. Look at somebody say, change the station for God's sake. Here you are, some guy is demeaning you as a woman, and you are shaking your behind to him, telling him that you are nothing. Look at somebody and say, that's sick. Here you are, listening to some negative. I started to say Republican. No. Here you are, listening to some negative, conservative, lowlife who've been elected to Congress, trying to define who you are as a human being. I reject it. I'm a child of the King. How many of you know that politicians can falsify the facts? And they can make a lie sound so good. The motion will be second and third, and it's still a lie. I just don't believe that we don't have enough money for people to have jobs. I think it's the conservatives who refuse to put the money into the system so that they can mess with Barack Obama. How terrible it is that they would rob a nation to get even with the president. That's sick. You need to listen to another voice. Thank you so much. This whole idea. And then I remember Hendricks that was here, Professor Hendricks that was here. He wrote that book, The Politics of Jesus. I got it right here, and I was thinking of something I read about him. Because, you know, today we have kind of spiritualized Jesus. He's just sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. He's a lily. Sweet Jesus. But Jesus was a revolutionary. Jesus didn't like it when you mess with poor folk. Jesus didn't come in a palace. He came in a stable. I just wonder whose side Jesus would be on, in the Diallo or the Strauss. I know what side he'd be on. He'd be on the side of the weak and the powerless. So if you wanna know how to treat Jesus, Jesus' strategy, one of Jesus' strategies was, this is according to Hendricks, he says, the first strategy of Jesus' people is to treat the people's needs as holy. Treat poor people as holy. Treat their needs as holy. You might not necessarily treat them as holy, but treat their needs as holy. Everybody needs health care. Do I have a witness? Everybody needs food to eat. Everybody needs a roof over their head. Treat their needs as holy. And because, you know, we got so many church folk just so much in love with Jesus and say to hell with you. I don't care what you need. Just come on, let's just give them some praise. Let's shut up. Then Hendricks says, the strategy of Jesus. The first thing Jesus would say, treat the people's needs as holy. And then the second thing he says, be a voice to the voiceless. You want to be a real Christian? Be a voice to the voiceless. Those people who can't talk. I'm standing with Diallo, the poor maid. And then they're talking about, well, she just wants to get some money. If you're poor, who doesn't want money? What about this other guy who's going around abusing women because he's rich? There's something wrong with that. Think you can get away with anything.
Look at somebody and say, you can mess with the wrong one, baby.
He messed with a sister.
I'm not going into all these other things. You can read this book on your own. But here's what I want to get at. This other article I was reading talked about there's two kinds of Christianity. And I never thought about this, but there's two kinds of Christianity that virtually stand over against each other in the modern church. The first Christianity says, for one, Christ is the object of our faith. And for the other, he's the captain of our faith. For one Christianity, we believe in Christ. In the other, we believe like Christ. In one case, we trust our whole selves to Christ. In the other, we try to imitate Christ. Most of us, we just want to believe in Christ, but I think Christ wants us to be like him. To make the needs of the poor holy. That's why I couldn't walk by the guy this morning, because it kept saying, you hypocrite, in your Nigerian white outfit. Look at somebody and say, Christianity has got to get in your heart. It's got to cost you something. So I was out there talking to him. We talked for a while. Then I asked him, I said, well, when the last time you had anything to eat? He said, a day and a half. So I was reaching in my pocket. I was getting ready to give him about $10. Then it hit me. What's $10, you cheapskate? I went back in my pocket, and just so happened, I had a 50. And I hit him with 50. He said, thank you. I guess he's been used to cheapskate preachers. I surprised him with a whole 50 bucks. And what is that? Nothing. God needs the church not to stand on the corner and just have a pretty sign out there. I've heard people say, oh my God, oh what a lovely sign. I've heard people say, oh, I just like the grass. So what? He's still sleeping outside in front of a nice sign and a nice morn, but still hungry, still lonely, still miserable. Something's got to happen. I need somebody to be a voice to the voiceless. I need somebody that will talk to City Hall. I need somebody that will get in the governor's face. And oh yes, we need somebody. I know I love, and we all love Barack Obama, but he's president. He got to be able to take the heat. I know, I've been around here for a while. I love y'all, but every now and then, y'all give me heat. I still think you love me, and if you can't stand the heat, we need a voice to talk to Congress, and we need the president to be the president. We need the president to argue with those jokers. If you lose, Mr. President, fight anyhow. Let the world know that I stand with the poor. Let the world know I stand with those who are in need. Let the world know. If I'm a one-term president, I'll be a one-term president. But I'm going to fight for the least of these. I'm going to fight for my grandmother and my great-grandmother. I'm going to fight to the last drop. Enough of this nice. Do what you did when you were running for president. Fight. Get mad. I love you, Mr. President. But I'm tired of nice.
don't want to say nothing. Let Michelle say something. I know she got something to say. We need Christians not just to be in love with Jesus. We need Christians who want to try to act like him. Enough of these Christians who got full of the Holy Ghost and ain't never gave $50 to any poor person. Won't even help your own mother. Your own mother's struggling. You riding around in a Benz. And she don't even have money to buy groceries and medicine at the same time. I know what I'm talking about because that was my story at one time. I was ashamed before God that I wasted more than my mother needed to have a decent life. There's a whole lot of people right here in this church. They look like they got it all together. They dress nice. I don't know why God placed that guy out there today. I don't know, Deke. I thought about, well, I'll just talk to him, and then I'll get him to benevolence. How many of you know sometimes it's not appropriate? You got to do your own thing right now. I need help. I'm hungry now. I ain't got time for no meeting and greeting. I haven't eaten in a day and a half. Here you are, Reverend Big Shot, at the nice suburban church with a pretty sign. What you gonna do?
I don't know what I'm gonna do if he comes back. I told somebody, I said, I gave him $50. This is $50. He's gonna be sleeping on the steps.
We'll deal with it when it comes.
Told me how much he gets in Social Security. He gets disability. Told me how much he gets. He's reading USA Today. And I know. It's a terrible commentary of our time, but sometimes we are more afraid of our own people than we are of other people. We think, oh my God, he's out there. Look at him. He hasn't shaved.
He's got to be a crack addict. Look
at somebody say, he had the good sense to position himself at the right place at the right time.
He did not come to me. I went to him.
And he talked like he had some sense. Could be me. Could be you. Look at somebody say, that's what the resurrection is about.
Resurrection power. God is able
to raise him up.
God is able to change his mind. God is able to cleanse him up. Do I have a witness?
I've been reading a lot this summer. And one of the books that Reverend Hayes and I have read, I think she read it, is Cornel West's book,
Loving and Living Out Loud.
Cornel West's memoir. Y'all know Cornel? The one with that afro and those strange teeth? Take that off the tape.
But Cornel, a PhD, professor at Union Theological Seminary. Cornel, he said in his memoir that he was homeless and teaching at Union Seminary with a PhD. You don't have to be stupid to be homeless.
Miss 2 months and your unemployment run out. We need the church. One of the greatest things about, I think, about Mount Olive's history, We have some wonderful worship. That's wonderful. That's good. I like when somebody say, yeah, every now and then if you go down there, you're going to hear some great singing. Every now and then if Jackson is on, he can preach every now and then. You know, he's not like that all the time, but every now and then, if you just get there on a lucky Sunday, you're going to be blessed. But that's all right. But one of the things that I admire about Mount Olive, we have a history for caring for poor folk. Now, they talk about us like a dog. Driving up there in them fancy cars. I don't have enough money to go over there. You gotta have a nice suit, and you gotta have all of this. That may be so. But the question is, are we a voice for the voiceless? When we are at our best, and when I am at my best, and when you are at your best, people know in the community that we are a voice for the voiceless, and we put our money where our mouth is. We just don't give to Liberia. We give to Central Avenue. Ain't no sense in being middle class and stingy. With just one paycheck from being poor. And if those jokers down there in Congress have their way, all of us will be poor or dead. And I think they'd prefer that we are. But there's another voice. I shall not die. If I just gotta stay here to get on your nerves. I shall not die until God says so. I don't care if you say, I ain't dying till the fat lady sing. I don't care if she don't sing. I ain't dying anyhow. I don't like that song anyway. The church gotta be more than nice pews, nice lights, nice video. If that's how we are, why don't we just go down to New Jersey Peck? We're more than that. We've been bought with a price. Jesus paid it all with his life. And if we want to be his disciples, we too have to be like him. It costs to be a Christian. It costs you your time. More than us running around talking about, I love Jesus and never doing anything that Jesus did. Was finished 5 minutes ago. I just didn't quit. But now I'm done. Doors of the church are open. Will you be a voice? A voice to the voiceless? Will you make the needs of poor people holy? Because Jesus did. Jesus died. He came in a stable, not in a palace.